Our gospel this morning comes from the 10th chapter of the gospel according to Luke. Now, as they were on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. It is good to be back with you. Now, whether you realized it or not, I was gone away on vacation for a couple of weeks and a couple of days. Some of you have asked me, "So was it a good vacation?" My answer might seem a bit perplexing. Yes? No? I don't know, it was a little bit different, I've replied. Vacation, in some ways this year for me, was unsettling. I didn't accomplish anything grand during vacation. We got my parents' house painted. It took about 3 days. Got to spend some time with the boys helping in the midst of that. Spent another day with my dad. We headed up to an abandoned farmstead that he owns, and we harvested some old wood out of what used to be a hog barn. I got it ripped down, and I've got it ready to turn into some doors that they want for their basement. But I didn't accomplish a lot. Jan and I jumped in the car. We went to the Twin Cities for a few days, visited some seminary friends, had a grand time, but the truth is, I didn't accomplish much. What you've got to know is that in the past, on vacation, I have resided an entire house. I went to work with my son Tyler up in Beulah, and we gutted an entire house and hauled out all of the plaster and lath to the dump in 2 weeks. We have painted houses. We have done all sorts of work. It was just kind of unsettling to not accomplish very much in the midst of this vacation. And it's exactly as I begin to realize how unsettled I was in doing nothing that this text began to wag its finger at me, convicting me and challenging me. Let me set the stage a little bit in the Gospel of Luke. If we step back, if we open up our Bibles and go back, say, to about the halfway point of the Gospel of Luke, and then read to the end of the 10th chapter of Luke, that's where we're at now, we get to see Jesus doing a whole lot of doing. I mean, really, open that up, take a read, it won't take you very long, see what Jesus has been up to. But here's a short list of some of the stories that are there in the midst of that gospel. Jesus calms a storm, that's where the midpoint of chapter 8 starts. That's a little bit of doing. He casts out a legion of unclean spirits from a man who's running about amongst the tombs. Those unclean spirits jump into a herd of swine who go running down a hill and die in a lake. That's a lot of doing. He brings a little girl back to life and heals a woman who has been in a flow of blood for 12 years. He sends out 70 of his disciples, telling them to go into the places that he will be going in the coming weeks. And then he sits with them when they come back and he hears their stories. That's a lot of doing. Then last week, you might remember, Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. He's confronted by a lawyer who wants to know how it is that he finds eternal life. And Jesus says, "Well, what's the law tell you?" And the lawyer responds, right, "Love God, love your neighbor." Jesus says, "Do that and you will live." "Well, who's my neighbor?" And then Jesus tells this incredible story of doing. Who is the one doing the right thing? There is all sorts of doing in the Gospel of Luke, in that 2.5 chapter section. Now, don't get me wrong. Not everything in those 2.5 chapters is about doing, Jesus and his disciples in action. But a lot of it is, probably a majority. But then, we come to this end of the 10th chapter, and we are invited into Martha's home. Jesus and his disciples enter this city. We know for certain that Jesus has entered the home. We don't know who else is there. We don't know exactly what's going on. The text is pretty slim. Some sort of hospitality is in order, though, because Martha is going about doing all of the things that a good person of hospitality would do in that culture and probably in our day as well. We're not certain exactly what all of the tasks are, but in my mind's eye, I can almost see her with a list, right? Get dinner ready, get the salad out, make sure that there are good cold beverages available. Check, check, check. And she is at work running from here to there doing this and that, and I can see it and I can feel pretty comfortable there with Martha. And then she gets annoyed. Jesus, can you please tell my sister that I need a little help here? Martha, Martha, you are distracted by many things. Mary has chosen the better part. Mary has been able to sit, to just sit. And I hear this text in the midst of the lists of things that we need to do and maybe all that we think that needs to be accomplished, inviting us to just sit at Jesus' feet, to listen, to wonder and ponder and be invited into thinking about what kingdom-centered living might look like. Like I said, last week, the text was all around the story of the Good Samaritan. Loving God and loving neighbor was lifted up as the path to eternal life. Pastor Lee talked about how loving God and loving neighbor are two pillars that like hold up a bridge, and that the roadway that bridges those two pillars is us being able to take to our neighbor the love of God. I loved that image that he pulled together. It's very practical. I can see it. It can make sense to me. But it seems to me that before we can be the conduit that connects God to our neighbor or allows us to introduce the love of God to our neighbor, we have to be able to experience that love of God first. That's my vision of Mary. Sitting, listening, receiving, taking in all that God has to offer. I mean, can you imagine the incredible ability to sit at Jesus' feet? Would that be awesome or what? But here's the deal. We have the ability. I mean, not personally. Jesus has never physically shown himself to me. But there are places that we do get to encounter a living word that looks at you right in the eye and says, you, put your name in this blank right here, you are my beloved child. You are loved by me. You, in the midst of your brokenness, in the midst of the things that aren't always going right, in the midst of your fears, you were created by the same one who made all the earth and the entire cosmos. Lay down outside or stand on the prairie. Look up in the middle of the night. See the stars that stretch on and on and on into infinity. Beyond the point that we can even see, God created all of that vastness. And you and I, just a little dot in the midst of all of it, we're also created by this one who looks at you and says, "Child, I love you. Come and sit at Jesus' feet. Sit there in the midst of worship like today. We are so glad that you are here. In the midst of the craziness of the world, you've chosen either to be physically present with us or on the radio with us or with us via live stream. You are here to worship this one who created you. But I hope that you find other times in the midst of this week to sit at Jesus' feet. Maybe it's opening the Bible and spending some time there reading just a bit and savoring those words and wondering how God intended them to shape you and help you know that God is real and loves you. Maybe it is to sit down and open up one of the devotionals that we've made available to you, the one that is a year-long devotional. We've still got some more if you want one. The quarterly devotionals that are always out there at the kiosk, or the weekly devotional that's at the welcome table. A chance to sit and read and ponder and be reminded again and again of the goodness of this one who loves you. The truth is, sometimes it's hard to believe that we're beloved. The truth is, sometimes life gets crazy and we might forget it. But whether you forget it or whether you're holding it firmly in your hand, it never goes away, because Jesus loves you. Come. Come, just spend some time sitting at the Savior's feet. Even if it makes you uncomfortable sitting, like it makes me feel uncomfortable sometimes, just sit. Thanks be to God. Amen.